and another US bank is in trouble, and some of the big US banks had to come together to throw a 30 billion euro lifeline to First Republic Bank. And this is all part of efforts to continue to dampen down global concerns about the health of the banking sector. And of course, less than a day after Swiss bank Credit Suisse clinched an emergency bank loan of up to $54 billion. So what's going on? To tell us more, Laura Noonan, financial regulation editor at the Financial Times, is with us. Another bank in trouble, Laura. How worried should we be?
Well, if you're talking about how worried people in Ireland should be, I would say not very. I mean, there are two very different stories going on. There's what's happening in the US, and this was happening to Credit Suisse in Europe, and neither of those have much to do with our banks here. So what's happening in the US is basically concerns about liquidity. Banks who put their money into bonds or put their money into other things which have fallen in value, and they're having trouble. Basically, there isn't enough confidence that they will be able to give the people back their deposits when they need them. And that's why Silicon Valley Bank collapsed last weekend. There were then worries about two other banks. We had Signature Bank, which was taken over on Monday, and there was First Republic. Those issues are entirely different to what's happening at Credit Suisse. So Credit Suisse is a bank that has had underlying troubles for a very long time. And what happens is, when there is a sentiment out there, and there is a very volatile sentiment out there, there's a sentiment, there's fear because of the US, then the laser beam hits other parts of the banking markets where we know there are issues. And that's why we've seen Credit Suisse. It isn't always logical. So Credit Suisse's issues this week are no different than they were 2 weeks ago, the fundamentals. But the fear spreads, and the fear goes to the places that we already know are weak. When we think about the Irish banks, I mean, there was a note from Citi yesterday talking about how strong the liquidity in the Irish banks is, talking about how strong the credit in the Irish banks is. So there are no reasons, there are no fundamental issues with the Irish banks. So in that sense, we shouldn't be worried. However, if you happen to hold shares in Irish banks, this is the kind of sentiment and the kind of mood where anything can happen. So the shares could be badly impacted because sentiment is just very volatile right now. There have been all this effort to try to contain it, but we just don't know, to be honest. I mean, people will remember that this date in particular, we have the St. Patrick's Day like massacre, which would have been probably 10, 15 years ago now, St. Patrick's Day in Irish banking history as well, is a very particular and bad memory.
No, that is definitely ghost of St. Patrick's Day past. We're not going there on that one today. Except in terms of small banks out there, and particularly in the US, I mean, the backdrop is persistent inflation, rising interest rates. So the prospects going forward.
So rising interest rates are actually good for banks. And this is one of the kind of paradoxes of what's happening now. Rising interest rates impact banks in two ways. To the extent that which they hold bonds, which they bought in lower interest rate times, the value of those bonds falls. That's an immediate impact. However, over time, banks make more money. Their margins are higher when interest rates are higher. The issue is that rising interest rates are good for medium-term profitability, but they do hit the value of the bonds that you hold now, which is a short-term thing. So actually, the US banks, I mean, they also, it's a very difficult, different situation over there in all kinds of ways. So yeah, small and mid-sized US banks are being very badly hit by sentiment. There's also one other fundamental difference in the small and mid-sized banks in the US versus the ones here in Europe and in the UK, and that is they are much more lightly regulated. So there are these global banking rules that come to us from the Bank of International Settlements in Basel. In Europe, we apply those to every bank, be it a tiny Spanish bank or be it HSBC. In the US, they only apply those to banks that have more than $250 billion of assets. So this bank that failed, like last weekend, it didn't have to comply with those rules. And the general feeling is, had that bank been held to those standards, which every bank in Europe is held to, it would not have failed in the way that it did. So I think that should give us added confidence when we're thinking about our system here.
The benefits of regulation. Laura Noonan, financial regulation editor at the Financial Times. Thank you.